We thank you, Lord, for giving us your sacred words.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. As I was preparing the sermon this week, I don't know why the theme came up to me, but the theme of sacrifice came up to me. And the question for me was, what's worth sacrificing for? And of course, you and I know of the story of our own God, our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sacrificed for us. And it came to mind to me that mantra that you hear from time to time is nothing in life is truly free. When you really think about it, it came at a cost to someone. Even something free that you received from someone else, it came at a cost to someone. Hardly anything in life is truly free. And I just wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning because, for one, I don't think we really like the theme of sacrifice when it comes to ourselves. If you're honest with yourself, and I was honest with myself, aren't really keen on that theme of sacrifice when it comes to me. It's okay if someone else does, but that sacrifice when it comes to me is probably not something we say, oh, I'm first in line, let me sacrifice. You know? Because sacrifice costs. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who gives something value? When I was in my early 20s, we went up into the attic of the house I grew up in. And we were kind of in the mood to kind of get rid of some things. You have to realize the attic in our old farmhouse was one of those ones that are in the movies, the scary ones, where you go up in the attic and it's like, what's up there? Dark and, you know, cobwebs and all that sort of thing. Well, we had a couple big grocery bags of old comic books. Old comic books, because they weren't our comic books, they were Dad's comic books. Idiots. We took them out and burned them in the burn barrel. Some of those comic books apparently would have been worth quite a bit. But no, we burnt them in the burn barrel. Some of you farmers know the old burn barrel in the back that you had the 55-gallon drum, and after about 4 or 5 years, the thing kind of collapsed on itself, and you had another 55-gallon drum, and you'd stir the stuff in to make sure it burns really well. Well, we made sure those comic books burned really well. Later realizing, boy, that was not very smart. Or the baseball cards I threw away, too. Who gives something value? Now, to me, to us at the time, those comic books meant nothing because we were done with comic books. At that point in time, we had three stations on the TV, ABC, NBC, and CBS, and we had the Canadian channel as well. And sometimes you have those cartoons on Saturdays. We didn't need comic books anymore. We had that stuff, right? We didn't place any value on those comic books, but someone did. Others did. Some put a lot of value in those comic books, just like baseball cards. Well, you know, those baseball cards, these were players from way back, and no one knew who they were anymore. So, we didn't value those baseball cards, but some people really valued those baseball cards. I'm kind of glad I don't know what really was the comic books that we had and what baseball cards I could remember I really had, because I think I would have been very disappointed in myself. You've seen these things. I see them every now and then, a little news report about special interest things where someone finds an old car in the old barn underneath some hay. And they pull the car out, and it's an old car that is, there aren't very many of them that are around, you know, and they're in actually pretty good shape because they've kind of been covered up over the years, and they pull them out, and then they auction off the car, and it's worth $85,000. From an old barn that's falling down. Now, the old farmer had the old car, didn't have place any value in that car, but someone else did. Someone put value on that car. Or some would say an education that isn't used in a job. Was there any value in my education? I'm just asking these questions for us this morning. Some would say no, others would say yes. One man's junk is another man's treasure. Those of you who love going in garage sales, every now and then you find a gem that they thought was junk and you see it as treasure. I see somebody, you're talking to each other already. We got some professional yard sale people here, by the way. Who gives us value? Our parents? Our family? Maybe our peers? Our friends? Our church? I mean, I already know the one that really gives us value, and we'll get to him in just a minute. But what gives us value, or who gives us value? And sometimes there's a lot of value given, and sometimes maybe there isn't so much value given. Those who don't value us very much probably aren't people we ought to be hanging around with anyway. Because as far as God's concerned, every single one of you has a ton of value. And if God says you have a ton of value, then I think you do too. I'm going to get to God valuing us, but first I want to get to this. Do we value God? I want to look at the Abraham story here a little bit. That's a tough one, isn't it? The lengths that God went to test Abraham, wanting to know if Abraham would really be obedient to God no matter what God asked of him. And I think about this whole test and I think, you know, God is righteous and holy. So whatever God would ask Abraham to do, there had to be a holy and righteous purpose behind it. Even if on its face value, it looks like this goes against who God is. There's got to be something going on there. Abraham valued God unequivocally, yes. Because to do what he did, to follow through with what God was telling him to do, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that unequivocally, yes, Abraham valued God. He completely trusted God enough so that he would do anything for him. Anything for God. Why would God ask such a deeply troubling thing? Because you read it here, again he says, sometime later God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Abraham says, here I am. So you know that Abraham knows it's God. Okay. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, I'm sure at this point in time, Abraham wonders, why? What have I just heard here? But in obedience, he does what he's supposed to do in order to do what he's supposed to do. He knows how you do the burnt offering stuff. He knows what he had to get ready for all of that. He knows where he has to go. And his son Isaac is a little curious about what's going on here. Because he's going with him. And he knows because in the past, whenever a sacrifice was made, there was the animal, the lamb, whatever was to be sacrificed was in your possession to go ahead and sacrifice. And his son says, hey Dad, we got the wood, we got everything we need. Where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide the lamb. You know, this is an interesting story because I don't want to spend a lot of time on the pointing, even though that's probably the most valuable thing we can get to this, the pointing to one that was to come that was going to be the sacrifice. You see, this story parallels when God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. In so many ways, it is a parallel. God provided the lamb. The lamb was his son, Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. And there's no doubt to me that this text, in part, is a parallel to that. It's pointing us to the New Testament and what Jesus did for us. God gave his only son to come and to die on the cross for us and to raise again. That part is a truth, a mammoth truth in this text. But I wanted to look at this whole idea of sacrifice and get back to that in light of the text. Why would God ask this deeply troubling thing, other than perhaps in one way to do what I just suggested? He was showing us a type of what was to come. The immense sacrifice that was going to be made thousands of years down the road. It was a trust thing. God wasn't going to ask Abraham to do something unless there was a righteous purpose behind it, because God is righteous. God is holy. There is nothing in God that is not holy and not righteous. So whatever God was going to ask Abraham to do, there was a righteous purpose behind it. Even if Abraham didn't understand what that righteous purpose was at the point in time, he was obedient to God full in, 100%. Perhaps as he was being obedient to God, perhaps God was starting to show him what was going to happen in some way, shape, or form. Because when he did say to his son, "Son, I don't know, I'm adding some words to the text, but I don't know what's going on here either, except I know this. God told me to do something, and he's going to provide whatever it is we need when we get to the top of the mountain. I'm going to trust him completely." Trust him completely. You see, in the end, folks, I want us to understand something about this whole idea of how much we value God. And it's this. God's opinion is all that matters. It is right, and it is a righteous answer. It is right, and it is a righteous answer. Whatever that is, God will lead us into that. It may be that along the way we think, why are we going here? But God takes us to where he ultimately wants us to go. And it was a challenge to Abraham. And Abraham met that challenge. And God did indeed provide the lamb that Abraham needed. Do we value God as much as Abraham did? Are you willing to say yes to whatever it is God wants you to do? Now, I seriously doubt that you'll ever have a challenge quite like that one. That one was recorded in Scripture. That one is like, wow. But God does challenge us. And God does want us sometimes to do things that we don't understand at the time, but is God trustworthy? Yes! 100% of the time, God is trustworthy. And so if God is trustworthy, do we value him? If we value him, then we will respond with an affirmative, with a yes, with an unequivocal yes to God. When he says, "Dave, this is what I want you to do. To all of you, this is what I want you to do." If it involves sacrifice of some kind for us, God is righteous, God is holy, God is right, always, and we can trust him with it. So I want to ask this question then, and that is the question that was kind of answered previously, but I want to answer it again, and it is this: does God value us? Does God value us? The simple answer to that question is yes, God values us. Jesus paid a hefty price to let us know that he values us. A hefty price. The same thing that was about to be offered back in Abraham's day was offered on the cross at Calvary many years later. Jesus died. There was a purpose behind his death. It was a righteous purpose behind his death. He died for our unrighteousness so that we too could stand before him as righteous, because he paid for what we couldn't pay for. I believe, as I look at the story of what Jesus did, the sacrifice was apparently worth it. If the sacrifice was apparently worth it, then you're worth it. I don't care how you feel, you're worth it. You're worth that sacrifice. Get it in your head and get it in your heart. You are worth that sacrifice. Because he said so, not because I said so. He said so by what he did. He said so. That's an ultimate example of love. So I want to bring this full circle then to say we've been talking a lot about God's sacrifice for us and how he values us. We haven't talked a whole lot about our sacrifice. Let me ask you this question as we close this morning. Who is worth our sacrifice? I want to go to Ephesians, the text that was read this morning. Let me read the two verses again for you as we close. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We're to love that way. If we're to love that way, then that means we are to be what? Like Romans 12 says, living sacrifices. That's what we're called to do. Be imitators of God. What did he do? He gave his life for us. An example of that would be Ephesians 5, the text that oftentimes is read in relationship to men and women and submission. And it says in verse 21 of that text, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But you know what it says to husbands? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If that isn't submission, I don't know what is. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her sacrifice. You see, guys, if you want an example, there's an example for you right there. Guys, to be a sacrifice. If you have a spouse this morning, if you have a wife this morning, love them as Christ loved the church. But that's not just for husbands or wives. I believe that's for all of us as Christians, that we are to love each other as Christ loved the church. Your children, your parents, your neighbors, even your enemies. That's when you're really being a sacrifice, right? Because it takes a lot more to do that. It takes a lot more to love our enemies than it does to love those who love us. It's a lot easier for us to love our children and our spouses than it is to love someone that's not very lovable, right? But he says to be living sacrifices. Live a life of love like Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. I have new twists sometimes in my prayers in the mornings when I walk around the sanctuary here and pray. And one of them I've been praying for is those who are in broken relationships. And I said, God, fill them with your agape love. And the only way they're going to be filled with the agape love of God is if they know the agape love of God in Jesus Christ. Because I think the agape love of God can heal any relationship. I really believe if we let his agape love take a hold of us in our relationship, whether it's with a husband or a wife, or whether it's with a neighbor, or whether it's an absolute enemy, the agape love of God can overcome. And so I say, God, with these broken relationships, fill them with Jesus. And if they're filled with Jesus, then they'll love like Jesus. And if they love like Jesus, it's an irresistible love. Sacrifice. That's what it is. God's agape love is a sacrificial love. It's a love that says, I don't care about my need. I only care about everybody else's need. We can love that way. Who is worth our sacrifice? I think almost anyone you come in contact with is worth our sacrifice. Because God sacrificed for them. So that means that you and I need to be attentive to the needs of others. Have our spiritual antenna up. And love like God loved. Sacrifice. Let's pray. God, you have considered us valuable because you gave your life for us. That's a pretty hefty price to pay for someone. Because you paid that price for us, help us to understand that you have paid that price in waiting for those who have yet to receive it. Paint it in full. Help us to love like you love. Help us, God, to remove the selfishness and the pride and the greed from our hearts and instead replace it with the agape love of God, that we can love others with no thinking about ourselves, just to love the other the way you have loved us. Help us to be living sacrifices. Help us to see the value in people, even when we disagree with them. We thank you as we close our time together, O God, and as we share together in Holy Communion, that we are reminded of the great price you paid on Calvary, on that mountain, on that hill called Golgotha. Thank you for dying for our sin and to raise again, that we could have the forgiveness of sins in life eternal with you. Help us to live knowing that you value your children. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we share together in communion this morning, some of you may not